good to see everyone today. It's good to be with you. I want to invite you back tonight at 5:30. Tonight we're going to have a singing service, and we'll get out the little song books, and we'll sing some of the songs we don't sing as much anymore. So please be back tonight and enjoy our singing and our fellowship together. I'd be remiss today if I didn't say at least something about Miss Georgie here. I hear people fuss and complain about how the church views women's roles, specifically when it comes to worship service. When you really think about it, I saw a point this last week. What is the percentage of time we actually spend in worship? It's a very small percentage of our life, isn't it, that we actually spend here. I submit to you today that Miss Georgie lived a life and lived a sermon greater than any words that have ever come from this pulpit. Greater than any words me or Brother Bradley or anybody that stood here could ever orate. She lived the gospel. She lived the Bible. And we are the better for it. As we gather this afternoon, we have an opportunity to celebrate with her. She's not gone. She lives. And she lives safe in the arms of the Lord. And this afternoon, we have an opportunity to wrap our arms around the family, but to celebrate a life extraordinarily lived. I hope that you can be there this afternoon. Sometimes people make Christianity a lot harder than it has to be. You look out into our world and you see a ton of different ways that Christianity is displayed, that it's believed, that it's obeyed, that it's taught. Sometimes we make it harder than it has to be. You know, some think there's some great secret that has to be learned in order to follow God, some great thing that has to be done in order to really be right in the sight of God. You may ask, can we really know what God expects from us? I don't know the percentage, but there's a great number of people that I think are confused or that really wonder, what does God want from me? What do I need to do to please God? This morning I want to examine that very thought. What does God want? If you open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to go back to the Old Testament for just a second and take a look at a message that God delivered to His people through Moses. Where we are here in the book of Deuteronomy is the children have wandered for 40 years. We know why. It was their disobedience. It was their rejection of God. It was their turning away from Him. And so their punishment for that was that they had to wander in a wilderness for 40 years. Well, now we're at the end of this 40 years. Moses is at the end of his time. He will not be with them much longer. They're about ready to enter that promised land that was promised oh so many years ago. And here on the cusp of moving forward with God and moving forward in the plan and what He had promised them, God gives them a message. And the message is very simple. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. What's that message? The message is very simple. Obey God's commands. Follow His law. It's what they had not been so good at. But Moses is saying, be faithful. Be committed. Know the word and then obey it. With God, it really is that simple. And he says, look, it's not something that is hard to obtain. Notice the wording that he uses. He says, it's not hard, verse 11. This is not too hard for you. And he says, neither is it far off. It's not a journey that you must go on to find it. It's not far off. He says, you don't have to ascend into heaven to have it brought down to you. And you don't have to descend into the sea and try to bring it up. The word is near you. What's Moses saying? What you need to know, you already know. What God expects from you is what He has told you. And that word, He said, is very near because it's in your mouth and it's on your heart. And then He says, so that you can do it. Not a big deal, He says. It's not some great journey you must go on. It's not some great thing you must do. It's not something that's far off or far out there, or you got to have someone with some great expertise to go get it for you. He says, this is something you can do. Be faithful. Obey the law. That's what will please God. That's what God is wanting. He goes on to tell us about the consequences of our choices. In verse 15 he says, see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking His ways, and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. Moses says, the choice is this. You obey the commands. You follow the word of God. You do what He asks you to do, and you will live. You will prosper. Things will go well for you. But he says, if you choose to turn away, if you choose to enter that land, worship other gods, then things won't turn out very well. You will surely perish, and you won't live long. What's Moses' plea? Moses' plea here is that the word is near you, so just do it. Just go obey. Do what God asks. You know what it is. It's right here. You don't have to search for it. You don't need someone else to tell it to you. It's here. Obey His commandments. Observe His statutes. Follow His rules. And you will live and be successful. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We fast forward many years to the time of Paul. Paul is having discussions with the Romans here, and he's talking about the Jews. He's talking about some of the difficulties that they had obeying the gospel and fully accepting Jesus and converting themselves. He says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. His heart's desire for His own people is for them to be saved. But he readily admits they have a zeal for God without knowledge. They're walking around wondering what they need to do. They're changing the gospel. They're altering things. They're trying to make things different. And what they're doing is they're making it too hard. They're making it too difficult. What does God want from them? What does God expect from them? And it all hinges around Jesus. Verse 3, they seek to establish a righteousness of their own. But righteousness comes through Christ. He says in verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart. And I want you to notice what Paul does and how familiar this sounds. Notice what he does here in verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Well, that what Moses said? When Moses was standing here on the precipice of the promised land and he's encouraging the people to be faithful, he says, look, what you got to do is obey the commands. You don't need to ascend into heaven to bring down God's word. You don't need to descend into the abyss to bring God's word up to you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. You know what God wants. Obey it. What is Paul saying to the Jews? What was their problem? Either they didn't believe Jesus had come. Either they didn't believe the man that claimed to be Jesus was Jesus, that he wasn't the Christ, and so he hasn't come yet. And so Paul says, you don't need to ascend into heaven to go get Jesus and bring him down. He's already come. Or they believed that Jesus died and was not raised. There were those who believed that Jesus died and that his resurrection was just a hoax put on by the disciples, that he never really ascended, that he never really came. And so he says, you don't need to go down into the abyss and resurrect Jesus because he's already been resurrected. You're making it too hard. And notice the next thing he says, the exact same thing that Moses said to the children of Israel. Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What's Paul saying? It's that simple. You just got to believe in Jesus. You've got to have faith in him. You don't have to go get him. You don't have to ascend to bring him down. You don't have to descend to raise him up. He has come. He gave his life for you. He shed his blood for you. He is now in heaven with God. Our salvation, our faith depends on him. And that word is in your heart and it's in your mouth. You know it, is what he's saying. Don't fight it. Don't try to improve it. Don't be so confused. Obey. It's the same message Moses at the edge of the promised land to the children of Israel. Just obey it. Believe in God. Follow him. It's the same message. And it's the same outcome. Follow and you will live. If we believe in him, if we confess him, if we put him on, we will be saved. But if we don't, we will perish. Two different examples, but it was the exact same message. What does God expect from us? What does God expect from us? He doesn't expect us to ascend into heaven. He doesn't expect us to descend into the abyss. He doesn't expect some great sign, some great achievement. He expects commitment to faithfulness. We can know this. What is God's plan for our life? Romans 10 verse 17, same chapter, says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We've got to hear the message of Jesus. They had heard that message. They knew that message. They were familiar with the message. They just were confused about who Jesus was. Did he really come? Did he really raise from the dead? Paul says, just believe it. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Hear that message and then have faith in that message. His plan for our life is to hear about his son and what he's done for us and what he will continue to do for us. And to have faith in that message. Verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. If we give ourselves to him, if we commit to his message, if we commit our lives to his words, follow His statutes, follow His rules, there will never, ever be a reason to be ashamed. Peace, joy, happiness, salvation is ours. If we give ourselves to Him, we hear that message and then we fully entrust all that God has promised. We believe in that message. It causes us to want to be different. It causes us to want to change. It causes us to want to be more like Him and have our life in line with His words. So we repent of our sins. We confess Him. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. We can't secretly be a Christian. We can't secretly believe in Jesus. Something we must outwardly express. And He Himself says, if we will confess Him, He will confess us. And then what do? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when that gospel sermon was preached, and they said, what do we do? What does God want from us? What shall we do? Peter, what shall we do in our lives? What shall we do to please God? He says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What shall we do? How many people in our lifetime wonder, what does God expect of me? What does God want from me? What can I do to please God? There's part of the answer, isn't it? Obey His gospel. Obey His statutes. Obey His rules. Obey His laws. Give ourselves to His word. Give ourselves to Him. Repent and be baptized, having our sins washed away. And then we live faithful. We do our best to live for Him. Just like the encouragement for the children of Israel, don't worship other gods. Don't give in to all those temptations that are going to be out there, but stay true to God. The same message is for us today. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We do our best. Do our best to live up to His standards, His statutes, His word. His word is near us. Sometimes there are those who want to rewrite what Scripture says. They want to redo it. They want to change it. They want to alter it. They want to improve it. They confuse others. It's not really that hard. What we need to know, we know. And the message to the children of Israel, the message to the Jews, is the same message to us today. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. All we have to do is obey. We can know what God wants. We should never question, what does God expect of me? We don't always know the right answer. We don't always know how life's going to work out. But we know what God wants. The word is near us. We must obey. In short, we choose life. We choose life over death. If you're here this morning, you've never named the name of Christ, we want to encourage you to do so. It's what God wants. It's what God expects. If you obey that message, if you want to fully give yourself to Him, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized, having your sins washed away, being in a relationship with Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you wandered away. Maybe things have gotten cloudy. Maybe I don't know exactly what God expects of me. But I can know that God loves me, and I can know that God will take care of me if I observe His laws, His statutes, and His rules, and give myself to Him. We have no reason to leave this assembly, to leave this building today, without being reconciled, without being right with God, and without being headed to live with Him. If you have a need today, won't you come as we stand and sing?